Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, Kyle Lund. He is the director of Licking Park District, and Ann Balog. She is the program manager for the Licking Park District.
You gotta love this guy shows up all in scarlet and gray. I mean,
I'm telling you,
all good, that? All good.
Although I would have been a little happier if he had some Notre Dame.
Whatever.
On, but that's
You're
all right.
in
that's
Central Ohio.
That's just
Get
me.
Over yourself.
That's just me. I'm all right with it.
Come
I
on.
Like Kyle. He's a nice guy. So
yes.
we'll let that slide. See, I thought you were gonna say. He's a nice guy because he brought us some swag.
Well, that's also good.
Well, and again, I thought I did the right thing. He says, we have a 2X, we have an extra large. And I said, I'll take the 2X, give the extra large to Riley. And your retort was?
Seems appropriate.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's
I mean, you
so
know,
nice
unless there's
you.
A big fat black belt with it, I'll go XL all day.
Oh, my. See, Kyle, look what you got yourself into. Now, I wonder why Tammy didn't come out. She's like, you go deal with those two guys. I'm not messing with that. But again, Kyle, we were joking earlier. I looked back. 2 years you've been the director of the Licking Park District. Been a fast 2 years. How much fun has this been for you?
Oh, it's been a great ride. I got great people to work with. Love the facilities. Love the creativity. Our board's been so supportive. I can't ask for anything more, to be honest with you.
How important is it to have that board support? I mean, because a lot of times you can try to do things and think about wanting to do things, but you got to have that support to be able to do it. And they do seem like they'll just, hey, whatever you need, go get it done.
Yeah, they write the checks. And we've had some new board members recently, and they think outside the box, which is really nice. It's, you know, I've worked for other government entities in the past where it's just follow the straight line, and here they're okay to take the curve and try some different things.
You better take the curve at the park district. Real quick, remind folks how many parks you have, how many acres that is under your purview.
We have 13 facilities in Licking County and just over 1600 acres plus 46 miles of paved bike trails.
Mm-hmm. So who, I hear this all the time. Well, who's responsible for fixing these bike trails? You got Newark's got them. You got the park district's got them. Maybe explain how that works, because I think sometimes folks figure, okay, you've got them all. Get out there, fix these bike trails.
Yeah, we don't have them all. We have certain sections, and we have agreements with both Newark and Granville and Johnstown. So depending on the situation and the project, we may even do a 50-50 split. So if it's a big project, they come to us and let us know what they want to do. I take it to the board to get their approval. But, you know, a lot of main stretches, and we do the most of the maintenance. We're taking care of the cracks, the berming, trees. Trees has been a big one this year. We had to drop 80-plus trees after that spring storm. And so that took a couple weeks
right.
of working that out.
People get fussy when the trails aren't clear, too. I mean, I know during COVID there was a lot of people out walking on bike trails and such. And, well, you can remember that spring was pretty wet, too. And there's I don't know what it is, but it's like, I mean, just pick up a branch and move it to the side. What's the big deal? But you've got people for that, and you keep them in great shape. My wife and I walk them a lot.
Thank you. And we also have a lot of great volunteers who go out there and clear those trails for us as well. And some of them are taking their own pruners with them, their own chainsaws,
nice.
Blowers. Matter of fact, Craig Washka, who's a gentleman who lives in Granville.
Granville, Kewaunee, great guy.
Yeah. He has a disability, and he's even out there on his electric chair with his blower taking care of the trail. So he takes a lot of pride in that.
That's
we really
awesome.
Appreciate people like Craig.
Right on.
I need him when the leaves come down. I have Craig come out to the house and help a brother out every now and then. I know him really well, too, so I should get a hold of Craig and have him come over there and do that. Okay. Ann, you're the program manager, and there's a lot of programs taking place. One that caught Joel's eye that we've been talking about having some fun with is Felt and Fun Guy, and you could talk a little bit about that. But there are so many different programs taking place out there. It's got to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it's a ton of fun to have a job where we can do everything from naturalist programs to art in the park programs, hence the felted fungi.
Mm-hmm.
So that variety makes it kind of one of the best jobs I could ever hope for.
Who comes up with these ideas?
We do at the park. So myself, my co-program coordinator, Emily Fouts, we get ideas from our community and from the rest of the staff and sometimes from outside instructors.
Mm-hmm. So do you have to spread it around, so to speak? I mean, with 13 parks and all that different far reaches of the county, you have to make sure, hey, we got to get to all these parks during the course of the quarter or the year?
Yeah, we try to do that. We are fairly heavy at Infirmary Mount Park because we have a lot of our amenities there, but we do try to get out to our other parks for various hikes and programs. And that's kind of a constant thing that we're working to improve.
Yeah, Infirmary Mound Park, I mean, we were talking about before we got on the air here. I mean, it's really changed a lot in the last several years, but that park offers a little bit of everything.
Right, and we're fortunate. So we have a lot of, obviously, green spaces at all of our parks, but at Infirmary, we also have the shelter houses and the James Bradley Center, so we can hold some of those indoor programs as well as the hiking and things like that, and our big events, of course.
And I've been out to meetings before at the Bradley. I mean, Kiwanis has had meetings there, so I know I've been out there. It's a nice facility. Okay, last weekend, if I'm not mistaken, you had a ribbon-cutting ceremony for your nature playscape and what you've done out there. Before we get into that, kind of remind folks what a nature playscape is all about, because I don't think they have the right idea when they hear that.
Okay, so a nature playscape is... So when we think traditional playgrounds, we think, you know, slides and swings, and oftentimes the equipment is plastic and metal. It's very valuable for kind of physical activity and other things, but a natural playground allows kids to reconnect with nature. A lot of research has gone into showing that kids that are exposed to the outdoors and green spaces have very good outcomes in terms of increased physical health, mental health, and the list goes on and on. And so nature playgrounds kind of get kids immersed in that. So lots of logs and rocks and climbing opportunities and sand, mud. Mud is a popular
nature
thing.
Nature slide. I mean, come on.
Getting a little bit dirty is a good thing. And so our playscape has kind of combined that. So you will see some slides and swings, but you'll also see a number of zones where kids can build, use those creative activities and imagination. They can explore not just in the zones that we have, but in the in-between spaces, so getting out in the plants, in the woods, in the stream when we have rain.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the difference.
Is mud a contrived part of the nature playscape, or is it just whenever Mother Nature cooperates?
In ours, it is when it cooperates.
Okay.
In others, they actually have things like mud kitchens, but we didn't go that route.
Now, you're talking to a guy, I've said this before, I have OCD, I can't get anything on my hands, but I've got another son who would just have jumped into this at an early age if he could have done that. When you get them there, I mean, is it something for the first time where these kids see this and they're like, hey, Mom, they said I can go play in the mud. Can I go play in the mud? I mean, is it where kids are just like, this is the coolest thing ever?
Well, we're still learning ourselves to see how that, but it seems like the kids rush full speed into the different zones. I think Kyle would agree with that. And again, we
Kyle
also,
looks like maybe he's tried some of this stuff out.
Well, and exactly. And some of the most amazing features. So again, it's to get them, you know, immersed in nature, but we also have some amazing active things like this latest zone. We have a zip line and the new accessible treehouse, and I'm going to let Kyle talk about those because at this opening, speaking of kids rushing to do things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm getting it. Yes, he did the zip line. Hey, get out of there, mister.
Yeah, I rode the zip line quite a bit before it even officially opened, to be honest with you, just giving it test rides. But this past weekend, and virtually every time I've been out there on nice weather days, there's been lines for the zip line. We have two zip lines that run side by side. It's about a 90-foot ride. Kids sit on a wooden donut and hold on to a rope, so you're not just dangling with your hands like on a hand trolley going down this thing. Mm-hmm. And if you do slip or fall, you're only falling about 5 feet into a giant piles of playground mulch. So once they even get off that, they then go to a wobble walk, which is a rope and log structure that kind of teeters and totters and works on your balance. I've seen a lot of kids playing tag in around this same area. Then they jump to a log jump, jump around from side to side until they get to a climbing pole, which they can go up to 9 feet. And we've got both traditional handholds and footholds that you might see on a regular climbing wall. Mm-hmm. But then we've also got some holds that were carved in with a chainsaw. So for the more advanced climbers, you know, or older kids, they can try that mode. And then I didn't believe it till I saw it coming to life. The treehouse is just amazing. It's ADA accessible. It has about 120-130 foot ramp coming up from another play area. It's 20 by 20 in size once you get up there. And then there's another 8x8 eagle's nest perch that kids can climb up into and see even higher and further into the park. There's a slide coming off of that structure, and then right off that structure are two swings that are built from logs harvested on the property.
Wow.
That sounds so cool.
I've got a little brother from Big Brothers, and the more you kept talking, I'm like, oh, I know where I'm taking him next, because that's his jam. I mean, he loves to get out and do things like that. This sounds like this cost a pretty penny. How were you folks able to do this? Because, again, you've got tight budgets. I mean, how were you able to put this all together?
So the playscape overall cost a little over $385,000. We did manage to cover about 33% of that with grants. So we did get three NatureWorks grants from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. And then we got a multi-year grant from the Licking County Foundation through their Marguerite Halpine Heppenstall Fund for $36,000. So those grants actually really helped us to make this come into reality.
So is there a charge if folks want to come out? Maybe because I know a lot of people are like, well, this sounds great, but do I have to pay for this? Or just come on out and enjoy it, correct?
Yeah, it's all free.
Yep.
You know, it's tax dollar supported. We've had that same question multiple times, as well as Rick Van Gundy, who is one of the contractors on site, or is the main contractor on site. And people are amazed that this is something that they can do for free, where in other park districts, whether it be state of Ohio getting into a state park or other parks, some of those charge. So it's great to offer this at no cost to people. And some people have been out there for 4 hours at a time. So it's become a destination. It's not just a quick, let's play on the swings and get out of here and have a picnic. It's picnic, play, rest, play some more, and parents, you know, dragging their kids out of there. And
there's nothing wrong with a tired kid at the end of the day.
Oh, no.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
And I've heard multiple kids ask their parents, why can't we get a zip line in our house?
Because they're going to say, because you won't get that guy off of it. He'll keep getting on the zip line. Well, that's fantastic.
And I will say that is also one of the reasons why we looked into a nature playground, because the research has shown that kids play longer on those than traditional playgrounds. So we see that actively.
I mean, on a traditional playground, it's pretty much play the way the swing sets dictate. With a natural, it's creativity. I mean, like you say, you're playing tag out on the wobbly walks and those kinds of things. That's all good.
You just summarized in one sentence what I've been trying to say. You did it so beautifully. Well, next time you answer.
Thank you.
Boy, oh boy, I don't think I'd ever. Do we have that on tape? I think we do. All right, we can hold that for
my
you.
First affirmation in 2.5 years. God bless America.
See, we'll take a break so your head can swell back down a little bit. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, Kyle Lund, Director, Licking Park District, and Ann Balog. She is the program manager. Glad they could join us on a cloudy day today. There was a little light rain this morning. Kyle, Joel said he didn't even know that it rained this morning. I'm like, well, when we drove in, I had the windshield wipers on. So seems that it is cleared out now. You're going to have cloudy skies tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. And then Sunday looks like it's going to be partly sunny. But really, Kyle, is there ever really a bad day to get out to the Licking Park District?
To be honest with you, no. there have been some bad days recently on the Licking River. If we've, you know, tried to do a paddle, you're pulling your boat more than you are paddling the boat. But other than that, no. It's we're a, you know, not a 24-hour operation, but anytime there's daylight, people can come out to our parks and experience what not only nature has to offer, but, you know, exercise, relax, get stress-free, bring your kids and enjoy, you know, all the amenities and expose them to something that they can enjoy for the rest of their lives.
Is that universal across the parks district, dawn till dusk?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So, and how do you, I don't know, police seems like a strong word, but how do you maintain? I mean, do you have regular staff, regular visits, just kind of go through the parking lots, just kind of walk the trails, make sure things are copacetic?
Primarily in for Fremont Park, we're out and about there all the time, but some of our other parks that are further out, as an example, people pretty much police themselves. Okay. And if there's a pattern showing up, neighboring residents will call us and say, we got cars hanging out in this parking lot. So then we make contact either with the local municipality's police department or the sheriff's department and try and nip that in the bud.
I got you.
I love how people take, you know, ownership of something like that, because that's what you need. Again, Kyle Lund, and you can't be at every place. You don't have enough volunteers to get out to every place. So it's nice that folks will take ownership and they understand the importance of the park district. And I think a lot of times people forget that, I mean, people want quality of life when they're moving. I mean, we're hearing all about what's going to be happening coming in with folks. But even before you heard all that, people will say, I want quality of life. And the park district affords people that opportunity, correct?
Absolutely. Your house's value goes up the closer you are to trails and or parks. And it's our job to keep those in tip-top shape. But we can't do it without other volunteers. Mm-hmm. You hit the nail on the head. We had, in 2023, we logged over 10,000 volunteer hours in our park system, which equates to $300,000 in labor.
Wow, that's amazing. And if they want to volunteer, what do they got to do? Is there classes they got to take, or how does that work?
So they would initially just come through our website, lickingparkdistrict.com. We have a volunteer button there for more information. There's multiple areas that they can volunteer in. We would have them go through a background check, a federal background check. So we're checking from all 50 states. And once that's done, depending on their skill set, we try and match them up with an activity or a program or a maintenance objective. And Karen Jennings, our volunteer manager, meets with them, does an orientation. We find out how many hours they'd like to do, if they could team up with another person who has similar interests, and then they're off and running. Just recently, we had two crew replace or repair a lot of our kiosks in our parks, and the information kiosks. And these guys are so skilled. They're retired, and they picked up woodworking as a hobby. And they just come out and sometimes spend 8 to 10 hours a day and are looking for nothing more than a thank you, mm-hmm. pat on the back. And at the end of the year, or actually in the early spring, we have an annual volunteer recognition ceremony for all of our volunteers. It's a great dinner. We hand out awards just to say thanks to all that they do for us, because without them, we're only doing about a quarter of what we could really try and pull off.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So getting ready to change seasons, I mean, you know, we went from being dry, dry, dry to a little rain, a little more rain coming this week. Colder temperatures are coming, you know. So does the park kind of hibernate as well, or do you still stay vibrant in the wintertime?
We're very vibrant. Ann holds winter hikes with folks, and so I'll let Ann talk about some of those winter hike programs we have.
So we start winter hikes often after January. We'll do some in this next month. Kind of we settle into the holidays and kind of the slower time of year a bit compared to like the heat of the summer.
Right.
But we will be doing, so for instance, in December, we have one called the Night Tree, which still has room. It is one that has to register. So we have a component that's in person and a component that people can take home kits. We base it off a story, a kid's story called The Night Tree, where a family makes ornaments for wildlife. They hike out and decorate a wildlife tree. Hmm. So we do that in the park. So we'll make the ornaments, and then all the families hike out to some trees in the park, and we decorate for that. So that's
very
a fun
cool.
one coming up. Yep.
Yeah.
We will have a couple Arts in the Parks programs. The Felted Fungi is coming up. Which, you know, you got
a
lot of people love. It
I mean,
is.
You can talk about the program, but it's just fun to say. Felted Fungi.
And that is being taught by a local artist, Megan Henderson, who is out of Granville. And so we do have outside instructors that come in for a number of those programs. And we will have some of our monthly programs mm-hmm. as well. We have a painting art in the parks in December. We have a fun one for families, too. It's the end of the year. It's called Pinterest in the Park. We pull out all of our craft supplies, all of the stuff we have kind of left over, all these projects that tie in natural things. So we have some fun ones, and we always try to tie in kind of nature and all that. And we just let people create for like 4 hours.
Nice.
And so that's a fun one too at this time of year.
Oh yeah, I would think this time of the year, the holidays, no doubt about it. One thing that you touched on, Kyle, a few minutes ago, you talked about the, you know, being out on the water, and I think sometimes folks forget that you have some water activities as well with the paddle boards and those kind of things. How much fun has that been for folks?
Yeah, so this year we installed a new kayak and stand-up paddleboard rental station in Infirmary Mountain Park, right next to Mirror Lake. And folks can come out and rent those. And it's as easy as bringing your smartphone, clicking a QR code on the front of this locker that's at the lake. Once you put in your credit card information, the locker opens and you're able to grab either, again, a stand-up paddleboard or a kayak, plus an oar and a life jacket. And then they could either paddle at Mirror Lake on their with friends and family right there, or put that piece of equipment in their car and take it maybe to Buckeye Lake, the Licking River, anywhere they want to go and explore. We get a 50% of the proceeds for that program, and it's $25 for a two-hour rental. And when you look across the state and even other states, that's about half the cost of what other programs are being offered.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. The Zip Line, are you a paddleboard guy too?
I prefer the kayak.
Even on Mirror Lake, I mean, it's glass. Come on.
It is glass, but as a 54-year-old guy with bad knees and bad back, I'm good sitting down and having a nice paddle.
I don't blame you there one bit. Not one bit. Anne's laughing. Hey, what about you? Do you do them?
I have done paddle boarding.
Okay.
I will say I also prefer the kayak, but I will do paddleboarding. But we do have some wonderful volunteers that are very experienced in paddleboards, and they love it, and so that's help us out too.
Super awesome. Yeah.
You know, another thing I wanted to touch on is these wheelchairs, these all-terrain wheelchairs that you have, and you know, and again, we know Craig Washka has his limitations, so I know that he loves these. I mean, but maybe take us through these, what they can be used for, who's using them, and what people need to know about those.
So, yeah, these wheelchairs were built kind of like a mountain bike. They've got mountain bike tires. They've got thick steel tubing, and you can either propel yourself with levers. It's all geared. Or you, if you don't have use of your arms or aren't quite strong enough, or maybe you're out on the trail and get stuck on a tree root, for example, if you're hiking with somebody, they can assist you with the push bars in the back. They're very light. They're about 40 pounds a piece, and they break down easy enough so that someone could put one in the back of like a Honda Civic. We've seen it on their demonstrations. I've put it in people's cars before. The wheels pop off very easy. So again, built almost like a mountain bike structure where you can knock stuff down, take it apart, and throw it back together really quick. They're easy to use. They don't roll backwards, so if you are on some weird terrain and you need a brake, it's not going to roll backwards on you. They've got parking brakes. Personally, I've had my mother-in-law, who's in memory care on our trails, in one of these, and she really brightens up. I'm getting chills just That's talking awesome. About her right now.
That's awesome.
So typically, in the past, we've only been able to take her on sidewalks and asphalt in malls just to get her out of her facility. And now we're able to take her out to a park, and she's able to hear and experience nature where she hadn't done that in over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And again, the chills won't stop on me right now, Dave. So I appreciate you bringing this up, but we've got two youth chairs and two youth or adult chairs. They're free to rent, and people can just call our office, schedule a time with us. We'll give them an orientation, and then away they go.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. They can take it to the different parks, like you said, because
they can.
It's easily to be, you know, put together. Real quick, what's a park, maybe, Kyle, that everybody knows Infirmary and Lobdell, but is there a particular park or a particular spot in these parks that's like a hidden gem that maybe people don't know about? Is there a place that you like to go that maybe isn't as popular as, say, like an Infirmary Mound Park? Because I know a lot of people, they think right away, they think the big parks. But is there a place that, you know, maybe you would suggest to folks, hey, go check this out?
One of my other favorite spots is at Lobdell. It's at the disc golf course. As soon as you pull into the park, there's a picnic shelter. And then just to your left is a beautiful stream, a creek. It's got some beautiful rocks. And Anne actually holds classes out there. And I think that's one of her favorite spots, too.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one that you enjoy, or is there other ones that you like to get out to?
I do enjoy that part of Lobdell. Lobdell is just incredibly beautiful along that whole stream corridor. We just had ODNR lead a geology hike there, because it's actually one of the top places to see interesting geology if there's people that like rocks and history. And they just did a new brochure for us that we will have soon that has a lot of that information. So yes, I agree with that. I also like Morris Woods. It's a little bit smaller up in the Johnstown area, kind of a wet woods. So if you're going in the rainy season, be prepared. But really nice mature woodland. If people are birders, you want to head that way. It's just kind of a little bit out of the way, but a really beautiful spot.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think that all the parks, there's something that you're going to find. Everybody's going to find their own little niche and they're going to like. Now, what's your favorite program?
Oh, no.
If you say felt and fungi. But I mean, is there one that you would tell folks, if you've not done one of these programs, come do this one?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
That's our job.
I know, that just caused my brain to blink. In terms of favorite, I would have to say that, could I go with a larger event?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, so I think a great one that gets people exposed to what we do is Outdoor Adventures, which hits the first weekend in June. And it's one of our larger ones, so we tend to get, you know, it's been growing. So we're talking a couple thousand people, but we get the kayaks and the canoes out on the lake and the paddleboard. Well, sometimes.
Minus Kyle.
paddleboard sometimes on the big events we don't, but just because we have so many people, we don't want people falling in. Not that people fall in when they do the stand-up paddleboard, but it happens. But we also get in kind of rentals for like rock climbing, but we have different community organizations that we partner with through the year, so people can also talk to them. People can get out on the trail. Oh, and I have to say, I'm going to rewind a bit. The other one would be the Wildflower Fairy Trail at Infirmary Mountain Park. So we started that a number of years ago to get people out, get families out. We have a beautiful section of trail called the Wildflower Trail at Infirmary Mound. Spring wildflowers are spectacular in April and May. And so we wanted to get a little creative and see if we could, you know, entice people. And so we started with just a handful of little fairy houses that, you know, the fairies migrate back in the spring. Mm-hmm. And it has grown. The fairies take mail at the United Fairy Postal Service. Mm-hmm. And our volunteers translate it and write back if they leave an address. Mm-hmm. And we have had, I'm trying to remember, I think it was over 3,000 pieces of mail this year.
Wow.
We have lots of help and community organizations. We have more than 60 resident fairies move in every spring. We have a fairy trail party in May, so we have a horse-drawn carriage, and the kids make fairy wings and different crafts and everything, and so that's a good time too. And during Outdoor Adventures, you can also hike that.
Unbelievable.
I mean, ask a tough question, get a great answer.
Right, I never thought we were going there. Fantastic. Kyle, if folks want information on anything we've talked about, where can they get it?
Go to our website, lickingparkdistrict.com. We have a brand new website as of late August, I believe it was. So great pictures out there as well. We've really kicked it up a notch. And people can also register for our newsletter there. They can rent facilities from our website now without having to do a back and forth communication with billing through our department. It's all, we've taken staff's hands out of the equation. So the payment structure is there for people to rent the Bradley Center, picnic shelters, register for programs, although most of our programs are free. So, yeah, the website's a great place, and then also our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. And the newsletter's great. I mean, if folks jump on, you can get it, and just it has all the information in there if you need it about the Park District. Well, this was fantastic. I hope we don't wait another 2 years to bring you in here. So it was great to have you in, only because Joel wants another T-shirt.
But that's not true.
That's a different story. But it's been fantastic. And, again, I told you, we get over to Infirmary Mom. We just take our dogs over. The dog park is wonderful. And just then to walk around, it's really such a neat thing. And I'll have to go check out, you said Morris?
Morris Woods.
Yeah, I'll have to get over there and check that out, because it's fun to get to the different ones. That's why I asked you that. So really appreciate it again, Kyle and Ann, for coming in. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.